time no leisure to listen to the voice inside and get things straightened out in his mind as to what was important and what wasn't. So someone had called him, and he put the fishing outfit in his jacket pocket, and he thought about it the next morning, too, when he took it to the office, and looked at it again, and then finally put it in that bottom drawer, out of sight, but not out of mind. And then there had been the corollary, and there had been the end of that. The fishing outfit was still in the bottom drawer, and his wife went through the effects. They sent home from the office. She sat there with the fishing outfit in her hand for a long time. She saw him as a little boy and wondered why he had followed the course he had chosen. Life comes full circle. Now, just recently, Ronnie and I were on his grandfather's land. I think at one time he had a lot of land, and over 1,000 acres or something like that, or 300, excuse me. And we were looking at the land. It was an old barn that his grandfather had built. And I mentioned about it. I said, wouldn't it be nice if you had a time machine and you could go back in the years right now and see the family, the children, the building of the barn. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, it's sad how generations come and go. The end to a generation, of course, we have children, we continue in that process, but it's sort of sad to see that fade away. So lonely. And there's two statements in this book, in the story, Life Comes Full Circle, that I think touches our hearts. One is a question: had that relic, referring to the fishing outfit, of younger, carefree days, did that represent his real dream of what living was all about? And another little statement in the story is found in, and suddenly he had wanted to go back. He realized that had been living, that had been real and satisfying. I think a lot of us live lives of, as someone said, quiet desperation. There's a movie, The Death of a Salesman, where when they lower him down in the grave, his son said, looks at him and says, he never knew who he was. He just never knew who he really was and what his real role was and what he was there for. As they lowered him down in the grave. A lot of us, I think, include myself from time to time, we're engaged in role play. I heard a story about a man. He purchased it. He did it purposely. It was, I don't know how he found this doll, but it was a big doll, and it had hinges on it. And when you open it up, there's another doll in there. And you open it up, the second doll's on hinges. And you keep opening it up, it's smaller and smaller and smaller. There's about 10 dolls inside of one. And that represents you and I a lot of times as the layers of the roles that we play. There's a quote that I have hanging up in my garage, and I'm keeping it there until the day I die. It's a plaque on the wall that moves me profoundly. It says this. It says, not ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and go do that. Because what the world needs are people who have come alive. And so when I consider generations that have come and gone, I can ask, did they live lives of quiet desperation? Were they dead or alive? Were they just role-playing? Did they live out their God-ordained purpose? You have one, you know. Your God-ordained purpose for being here right now in the flesh. Your life is full, too full, indeed. Someone says that the average person spends 20 years of sleeping, 6 years of watching TV, 5 years of reading and testing, 3 years of waiting for others, 1 year on the telephone. Some more. I have a lady that calls me. And she calls me. She's a sweet lady. I love her. But I don't know what she would have done if she had been born before and then the telephone, whatever it was, and then the telephone. I mean, if there was no receiving God's Spirit and empowerment. We have God's Holy Spirit, but not all people have been empowered. And sometimes that empowerment, you may look at yourself and think that it's lacking. You know, I'd like to be empowered by God. I read in the scriptures where it says, and he called the 12 and began to send them forth 2 by 2, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. Well, I have the Holy Spirit of God, but I don't think I have power over unclean spirits. if you figure it out. So there is nothing that the devil would rather do than just screw up all your family systems so that you could get out of clue as to what your giftedness is and your purpose is and what makes you come alive. He would love that. And it does a fine job as far as I'm concerned, as far as some of the dysfunctional stories of family and children and stories that you read about. If you want to be empowered, find out what makes you come alive. I'm going to do this a little bit and discuss two areas here. I think it's possible to be empowered and not serve God. And I think it's possible to serve God and not be empowered. A lot of times in the church, that's where we find ourselves. We find us with a heart that is willing to serve God, but the empowerment is missing. You truly want to serve God, but that empowerment is missing. So let's discuss this. Empowered. You can be empowered and not even be a Christian, is what I'm saying. Men and women in their history have always been empowered. And this nation was empowered for freedom. America's four great freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from law, freedom from fear. Well, I think that was empowerment. There was a guy in Dubai. His name was Buster Williams. He could, if you were burned, he could touch you and take the Bible. That's a person who's been empowered. I'm not saying they have the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying that's a gift of empowerment. Empowerment is a common thing. So, the whole idea of being empowered and not serving God, or not being a Christian, I think of some of the great musicians of our time. How do they come up with this? That's how. Some of the stars of our culture, even some of the Hollywood actors able to touch you with a story, that giftedness, I think that's important. Famous inventions, electricity, the telephone. How did the people come up with that? I think it's empowerment. But it's not just as though God says, looks down and says, I'm just going to empower any John Doe down there. I think each one of these people gave God something to work with. You know what they gave him? They gave God that which makes him come alive. That's what they gave him. And God says, that's it. There's the empowerment key. What makes you come alive? What makes you come alive? Just look at the other side. Empowered and not serve. Okay, I'll just discuss that. I'm sorry. I'll just say to serve God and not be empowered. Of course, the remedy of that is to give God that which makes you come alive. If you're serving God and you don't feel empowered. But sometimes there are examples of people who are trying to serve God, but they haven't been empowered. These are people, it's obvious sometimes that something's missing. There are things you see, you feel sorry for them, or you feel embarrassed for them, or you realize the time is not there, whatever. But let's discuss something right here. What if you're a person who says, well, what makes me come alive has nothing to do with religion or church? Well, what makes me come alive has nothing to do with serving the church. Now, don't sell yourself short too quick. If you're doing that, which makes you come alive, in your work or whatever, you will bring a certain attitude to church that people will, it's a dynamo, it's like a dynamo. If you're doing that which makes you come alive, you have an attitude that people are attracted to. They feel something, there's a aura there, there's something about you that's exciting. You're not miserable, you're hitting home. struck